each and every one of us does this every day. Maybe we don't go to every source. Maybe we don't scan the internet, read every newspaper, flip through every channel on the television, cable, or the radio. But we have our sources of information, and we're going to be talking about the vocation here in the last hour of Issues, Etc., the vocation that Christians have to be consumers of information, not merely consumers, but to be discerning recipients of information. We would call it media consumers nowadays. Uwe Simonetto joins us here in Studio A. We begin that conversational run for the last hour of Issues, Etc. today, and we invite your questions and your comments as well. 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727, our ongoing conversation with Uwe today, media consumers as part of our Christian vocation. Coming up here on December 10th, now that's a Saturday, at 10 o'clock in the morning, AM 850 KFUO is going to be sponsoring a screening for our listeners of the movie The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. It's Disney's adaptation of the beloved C.S. Lewis novel series from the Chronicles of Narnia. Already, there are reviews of this thing all over the place, and we'd like you to join us Saturday morning, December the 10th at 10 a.m. at the Kenrick 8. That's right out on Watson Road. If you follow the radio towers, two gigantic radio towers there in the middle of South St. Louis, up Watson Road, you will eventually come at their foot to the Kenrick 8 Cine on Watson Road in St. Louis in Shrewsbury. It's Saturday, 10 a.m. on the 10th of December. Easy to remember, just remember 10-10. Tickets are $7.50. There's no limit to the number of tickets that you can purchase. Now, you can register with our receptionist here at AM850KFUO. A credit card number will be required, and we will accept personal checks if they are brought to the station. No checks through the mail, please. The ticket price does include concessions. Oh, I'm sorry, it does not include concessions. You'll be responsible for that yourself. And either before or after this private screening, if time allows, I'm going to have an opportunity to talk to our audience, our listeners who assembled there on that Saturday morning, about Lewis, his theology, and answer a few questions if time allows. I'll be there with many of the other AM 850 on-air personalities and staff members Saturday, December the 10th at 10 a.m. The call-in number here at the station, if you want to call toll-free, 1-800-844-0524, 1-800-844-0524, and ask for the tickets for our screening of The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe Saturday, December the 10th at 10 a.m. Uwe Simonetto is our guest. He's an international journalist. He's director of the New Concordia Seminary Institute on Lay Vocation, also director of the Concordia Center on Religion and the Media for Concordia University in Bronxville, New York. Uwe, welcome back.
Thanks.
Let's talk about being informed, the Christian obligation to be informed, as opposed to someone who says, look, the less I know of what's going on in the world, the less I worry, and for me, ignorance is bliss. How do you respond to that?
Well, we're talking about divine calling, being called to one's vocation. And the vocation of the media consumer is, of course, exactly the same vocation in a democracy that the sovereign has. The sovereign in a democracy is the people. Every voter is sovereign in a democracy. So therefore, you base your decisions out of love, Christian love for your neighbor, on the information that you receive. And therefore, you have the obligation to inform yourself as well and as broadly as possible and not rely on a single source and not give up. The minute you say, well, I don't understand all this garbage, and can't make head or tail of that, or media all lying anyway, and they're prejudiced. Then, of course, you are violating that sacred trust that you have got, namely to serve your neighbor by making the right decisions at the polls and in many other ways. And you can get the information, and you're obliged to do so if you are a Christian.
What happens, paint a scenario for us, if you would, when in a free society, people or individuals listen to only one source of information?
Well, take one scenario from my fatherland, which is Germany in 1933, when the majority of the people, it wasn't just listening to the wrong, to one source of information. Many people were just scared or couldn't be bothered. Majority of the people did not go to the polls, and of those who went to the polls, the majority voted for Hitler. Even though information on Hitler's, about Hitler, Hitler's intentions, Nazi intentions, was readily available, and up until that point, Germany was a democratic society with a vibrant, beautiful press, and there were German-language newspapers, excellent ones from neighboring countries, Czechoslovakia, for example, Prague had a wonderful newspaper, you had Switzerland, and of course Germans, educated Germans certainly in those days, spoke other languages just as such as French and English, so the information was available. Well, we all know what has happened since, and that is the main charge, that valid charge against the Germans as a society of that period of time, that they did not act responsibly, and certainly not out of love for their neighbors, and specifically not out of love for future generations, when they elected Hitler, knowing that what they would do. We can discuss similar scenarios nowadays, if you like.
Your contention, using that historical example, is that the German people could have, had they availed themselves of the available information right there in the press before Germans, before Hitler's election as chancellor,
yeah,
they could have known what he was up to and what he intended to do.
Well, absolutely, yeah. It was there. It was all available. I mean, it's not as if Germany hadn't had a fantastic press at the time. They could, and they couldn't be bothered. Or they allowed their darker emotions, like nationalistic impulses or vengefulness in some cases. Sometimes understandable vengefulness, because the Versailles Treaty, which destroyed Germany economically, indeed had to be overthrown. But these intentions, or these feelings, these sentiments, were no excuse for allowing somebody like Hitler to come in, to then start a war, to first of all destroy one minority or several minorities within Germany, chiefly the Jews and the Gypsies, and then of course start a war that would cost tens of millions of dead lives.
One of the things, and I think this is a malady of, in particular, American Christians when it comes,
yes,
to the media, is one of two attitudes toward it, both of which kind of lead in the same direction, kind of a withdrawal from consuming any of the popular media or any of the secular media, and going toward kind of single sources that they believe are tailored toward their Christian worldview. One is the belief that the secular media is uniformly biased against Christians' interests, against the Christian's worldview, and the other is that, and this goes unspoken, I think, Uwe, that to consume the media, to read the New York Times, you're not only going to get newsprint on your hands, you're going to somehow dirty yourself with the opinions and the bias of the secular media.
Yeah, it is a very silly view and a very irresponsible view. Even if you don't agree with the New York Times, and even if it is unpleasant to get newsprint on your fingers, you still have to read what they're saying, and then make up your mind based on that and other information. And the other information is available. I mean, people fumble around the Internet and look at the most absurd stuff. Horoscopes, you name it. Pornography. But you can, there are English language news sources. You don't even have to be a fluent or conversant in any other language. You can get the British press, you can get the Australian press, you can get the German, leading German publications or German language publications translated already for you in English, the French, etc., etc., etc. You can get a beautifully rounded picture. Or you check the newspapers in Singapore or in Hong Kong or in Japan. All of these publications are there. If you really are interested, and you must be interested, otherwise you do not deserve to be a citizen of a democracy. You must be interested in what's going on. You cannot just rely on the, pardon me, but lousy foreign reporting of the U.S. media, with some notable exceptions. We have some wonderful foreign correspondents here, but fewer and fewer. And we are living not in an isolated world. Americans don't even realize, for example, that all around you, you have potential enemies who can become very dangerous. Look what's brewing up in the northern part of South America with a communist installing himself with his hands on a lot of money, Chavez in Venezuela. In Bolivia, you get another extremist set to win the presidency. You have oil resources by God's providence all in the hands of either actual or potential enemies of the United States. And you have to be aware of these things and read up on it, listen to it. You can get news broadcasts. You can get the BBC here in the United States if you have cable TV. So there is no excuse that you're not informed, if you're not informed.
There is a late-night television program, The Tonight Show, hosted by Jay Leno, and he does, I think, on a weekly basis, as a comedy bit, goes out man on the street. He just walks kind of the streets of Burbank or L.A., and he walks around with a microphone, and he asks people that he just happens to meet simple questions like, who's the vice president of the United States?
Yes.
And he gets some very humorous answers. None of them are actually the right answer. Yes. People who do not know who the vice president is, they much less beyond that, they have a hard time sometimes even coming up with the president. And the saddest thing is if you ask these people, did you vote in the last election? Many of them will say, oh, yeah, I voted in the last election.
I don't know who for.
So is there any excuse in this information age for being not just that woefully uninformed, but as uninformed as, generally speaking, American and American Christians are?
Yeah, there's no excuse. And when they are Christians or pretend to be Christians, then it's even less excusable because a Christian should know his responsibility in this world. If you're goofing through life without any convictions whatsoever, you know, eating 10 hamburgers until your arteries are clogged up and dying and watch game shows or God knows what, that's bad enough. But if you pretend to be a Christian, if you actually believe that you are a child of God, placed here, made in the image of God, that you are to make the world subject to yourself. And if you then do not inform yourself, then you're a hypocrite. You're lying to yourself. And you just say, well, I only read Christian publications, is, of course, a cheap way out. It doesn't fly.
Why not? I mean, that has been the alternate for many Christians who realize, yes, I do have a responsibility to be a consumer of media, but I don't want to bother myself with the secular media, so I will read Christian magazines, I will watch Christian television, I will consume news from a Christian perspective.
Well, why not? Take the extreme view. Even if you believe that the news that you receive from the Christian media is absolutely the best and the most correct, and certainly is well-intentioned. I mean, if you look something like World Magazine, that's beautifully produced. But even if you believe that, you still have to know your enemy. You still have to know who is kicking you in the shin. You know, have to know their intentions, and you have to know their line of argument. You're meeting them. You're sitting side by side in a bus with them. You're sitting in the restaurant with them. You're attending parties where they are. You have to argue with them. You have to argue with them politically in election years. And every other year is an election year. So, I mean, there is no excuse just to orient yourself on Christian news. You can still say World Magazine is my favorite source of information, and I would commend you for that. But you still have to read the other stuff as well.
Someone's going to say, look, this is what we have government for. The president, although he says he doesn't read newspapers or watch much television, every morning gets a very thorough and complete press briefing. Right. His staff is well informed. Every senator gets a press briefing, a news briefing in the morning, and as do our representatives at probably both the state and the local level. And that suffices as long as our government knows what's going on. They can know who the leader of Venezuela is. I don't have to know.
Yeah. Sure. It's a valid argument, except who puts those people into power? So, I mean, it's still you. In the end, you're the sovereign. Yes, you have your government, who you have your president. You elected your president. He knows who the leader of Venezuela is. But you're still the one who puts them there. And so, therefore, you have to know what he's going to do. You have to have an idea where he stands. You have to have an idea what kind of politics you want him to pursue and what morals he has. And, you know, you can't say, for example, oh, I don't really care. Take another extreme. I don't really care to think much about abortion rights. I mean, it doesn't sound right. It's not kosher now. Killing babies is not right. But let the president take care of that. So, in other words, you have no responsibility. Let them kill him. Let's kill the Jews. I mean, that's Hitler's responsibility. It's not ours. I mean, that is the analogy that would come up, which, of course, many people resent. But it is a valid analogy, I think.
We're talking about Christian vocation, in particular our vocation as media consumers during this hour of Issues, Etc. Uwe Simonetto is our guest. Join our conversation. Our call-in number 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. I'm Todd Wilkin, and this is Issues, Etc. Steve calls from his car. Steve, thanks for waiting. Welcome to the program.
It's been my observation that many Christians, you cannot engage them in any type of intellectual conversation anymore. And it's a real challenge. And I think a lot of Christians have disengaged their brains. I don't know if, and I think when it comes to the media, they're even worse, because a lot of them turn into literal ditto heads. They don't have an idea. They just get it from somebody else.
Interesting comment, Steve. Thank you very much. Uwe, your response.
Well, he's right. He is right. And as I said, the Christians who disengage their own brains are not really acting like responsible Christians. They are acting as irresponsible Christians. And that, of course, casts doubts on the value of their Christianity.
Does this explain kind of the general gullibility of many Christians as consumers of media? As many as are saying, well, I don't trust the mainstream media. They will buy any conspiracy. We talked about the Kennedy assassination. They'll buy any conspiracy that comes down the pike. What the Federal Reserve is doing, this and that. And these things have great currency among Christians who consider themselves to be very well informed.
Absolutely correct, yes. Being a Christian does not mean that you should be naive, that you should be gullible. Being a Christian requires you to inform yourself and to think. That's what God gave you brains for. And to think independently, again, this is what God gave you brains for. And in the secular world, there are a lot of secular truths which you get out of secular media. And these truths you have to find out, you have to know about, where you don't automatically have to put a Christian sticker to it, you know. Should we change driving on the from driving on the right-hand side to driving on the left-hand side, because that's what the English do and we are all English speakers? Well, there's no Christian view on driving on the left or on the right. If you have a different color scheme, all right, so let's all stop at green and start at red. Again, there's nothing specifically Christians about these rules, but these rules have to be decided on, and you have to know about it, and you have to think about them.
It is enshrined in the American ideal, especially in the U.S. Constitution, a freedom of the press.
Right.
Perhaps unspoken in that first of the Ten Amendments of the U.S. Constitution is the sovereign, that is the people's responsibility, to be responsible consumers of that press. Is that in the mind of the founders, as far as you can tell, that along with the free press, we have a responsible reader? At the time, it would have been the reader, more likely than not.
That's the way I would interpret the founders of the Constitution, yes.
Could they have envisioned a free society surviving if people did not read what was being written, what was being published?
It's hard to imagine that, isn't it? That anybody who maps out a free society can think of it as a successful society if it is based on ignorance. It's not possible.
I'm thinking about North Korea, which as a country at this point in history is essentially a prison camp for its populace, a big populace. And there is no freedom of the press. Ruled by, I think I could safely say, a madman.
Yeah.
There are whole societies like that on this planet where people cannot pick up the paper and read information. They read propaganda. What is the lesson of history, both present and past, when it comes to the alternative between being a well-informed consumer of the media or being left with nothing more than propaganda?
Well, the list, if you're left with nothing more than propaganda, the lesson is that it is an evil society which hurts people, their own and anybody else, everybody else, which again will tell you that you as a Christian are obligated to inform yourself. By the way, I can name you many examples of people in societies, totalitarian societies like North Korea or like Nazi Germany, which I remember from my childhood, where people risked, like my father, risked their lives in fulfilling their obligations to inform themselves. My father, for example, listened to the BBC every day, every night, and they had the call sign, boom, 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 boom. I had a teacher, a class teacher in first grade, who came with a gramophone and said, has anybody of you heard this call sign at home? And several arms shot up, and the teacher said, well, the next few days you'll have some guys in brown shirts come in, ask you the same question. If you raise your arm, your parents will be a head shorter. So would you please not do this? You don't want to kill your parents.
Warning the school children.
What an enormous guts this guy had. He was a wonderful teacher, by the way. So there were people listening, because it was a capital crime to listen to the BBC during World War II. Yet people did it and acted upon it. In our case, for example, my father sent my nanny back to France based on the information that he received from the BBC that the war was lost. He said, if you stay here and the Russians or whoever comes here find you here, you'll be hanged, or you'll be at least have your head shaved. So you better make it back to France. I mean, she was a wonderful woman. She will raise me. So she did, and she then, of course, when the war was over, thanked us profusely for it. But you could decide this, and I'm absolutely certain that there are people, minority obviously, in North Korea who somehow managed to get information. In fact, I know there are, because you have people sneaking across the border into China to be trained theologically, and then they actually go back into North Korea as pastors and as congregational leaders of a secret church, and of course they are informed.
When we come back from this break, 10 more minutes with Uwe Simonetto, talking about one of our Christian vocations. It's one we all possess, and so much depends on it. That is, that we are responsible and discerning consumers of the media that is so much around us. We'll be right back after this.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
The Lutheran Reformation began when Martin Luther posted the 95 Theses at the church door in Wittenberg. The Reformation began there, but it certainly didn't end there. For the next six decades, Luther and the other reformers compiled documents, confessions, and statements of faith. We call these the Book of Concord, the Lutheran Confessions. Our Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for November is called Concordia, the Lutheran Confessions, a reader's edition of the Book of Concord. This book is $20.99 plus shipping and handling. For more information, go to our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House any weekday during regular business hours. The number, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. Ask for the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for November, Concordia, a reader's edition of the Book of Concord.
Answers. Now that sounds radical.
Answers with Ken Ham.
co-author of the very popular Answers book. Well, Ken, surely people want to have answers about life, so why would this be such a radical idea?
After I finished giving a lecture to a packed auditorium on the campus of Cardiff University in the country of Wales, a student came down front to me and said, quote, "Wow, that was radical." I said to him, "What was radical?" He replied, "Christians having answers." This man went on to say that he had never heard Christians being able to give answers such as those I gave during the lecture that defended the Christian faith. To me, this man's statement was really a sad indictment on the church. You see, I found that most churchgoers might know about the message of Christ and the cross, but when they're asked questions by the world such as, where did the Bible come from? Doesn't evolution disprove the Bible? Who was Cain's wife? What about dinosaurs? And so on, they don't have answers. Through the Ministry of Answers in Genesis and our Future Creation Museum, we equip people with answers to these questions and many others. We enable them to defend the Christian faith and proclaim the gospel in a skeptical world. Many today won't listen to the message of Christianity because they think the Bible has been disproved by science. So let's give them answers.
Has science disproved the account of Noah's flood in the book of Genesis? Ken Ham offers some surprising and revealing information about how true science supports a global flood. Read his free booklet, available on our radio website, answersradio.com.
Dr. Peter Scare on how Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, is unique.
We take seriously the words of our Lord, you know, that we are to be called to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. We are faithful to the Scriptures, and we are faithful to Word and Sacrament. We are both evangelical and Catholic. We are evangelical in that we believe the Word of God to be true, that we believe the Bible, and we're not going to back down from it. At the same time, we're Catholic. We recognize that this church has been around for 2,000 years. We also recognize that God is continuing to work through means, that He's working through the water of baptism, He's working through the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we take seriously our mission to be a light and salt to the earth.
For more information on Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, go to their website, ctsfw.edu, or call them at 1-800-481-2155.
Hebrews chapter 8 says, "The ministry Jesus has received is as superior to theirs as the covenant of which He is mediator is superior to the old one." Maybe that's why people don't read their old covenant very often. What do you think? Let's talk about Hebrews chapter 8 next time on The Bible Study with Pastor Tim Ostermeyer. Join us, The Bible Study, weekday mornings, 10:05.
The Bible Study on AM 850 KFUO is underwritten by Concordia Christian Books and Gifts, serving God's people.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Uwe Simonetto is our guest. We're talking about our vocation as Christians to be responsible consumers of the media. Before the break, Uwe, we were talking about the potential for propaganda, for news to turn into propaganda or degenerate into propaganda. How does a Christian tell the difference? Because it is a mixed bag, even in a free society. Many things that are in the media pipeline are, in fact, just cleverly disguised propaganda. So how do you tell the difference? And how do you not become subject to propaganda, even Christian propaganda?
Sure. Well, you can tell the difference, first of all, by reflecting upon it and by just thinking it over logically, what you're getting. And then you can do research on this. Is a given situation that appears to be the truth as it comes across television or the newspapers, is it really like that, or are there not other factors to be pondered? In other words, are there not relativizing factors to be considered? It requires footwork. It requires work. Being a responsible Christian and being a democratic citizen of a democratic society and a news consumer requires work. It's hard work. The alternatives, as we've just discussed, are grim. To wit, Nazi Germany at the time, North Korea, Pol Pot's Cambodia, etc.
And it seems basic to this this discerning consumption of the media that, as you've said several times in our conversation, we do not limit ourselves to one source or even to a few sources, but read as broadly, listen as broadly, watch as broadly as we can.
Yes, and broadly, not just meaning American. I think this is one of the biggest errors that Americans or other other nationalities commit by saying, well, you know, that's, as long as I read the liberal and the conservative press of this country, I should be well enough informed. This is nonsense, because beyond the shores of America, there's a whole big other world which impacts enormously on your reality here. And they are sources of information. I think, you know, what I find so crazy about all this is that people don't see the excitement in discovering facts and of other parts, from other parts of the country, of reading the often very entertaining and beautiful style of British newspapers, or Canadian newspapers for that matter, or Australian newspapers, or Singaporean newspapers. Why limit yourself to just your local sheet and the New York Times and CNN? Escapes me. I don't know. I mean, it seems easy enough, especially now with the internet, to find all that stuff. All you have to do is type it into Google in inverted commas, whatever newspaper you want to read, and you get it.
It requires that we see our neighbor, because this is a vocation. We inform ourselves for our neighbor's sake, so we might
Correct.
Be better servants of our neighbor, especially in the polling place, but and as sovereigns in this free country. But it requires that we see our neighbor as someone other than just our fellow Americans.
Absolutely correct, yeah. To wit, say, for example, when America retreated from Vietnam in 1975, people seem to have forgotten that the South Vietnamese were neighbors as well. And the thousands and thousands of boat people who drowned in the South China Sea trying to escape the communists, the tens of thousands who wound up in re-education camps where they were tortured, the millions who, in the wake of the withdrawal from Vietnam, died in Cambodia, being butchered by Pol Pot. These people were all neighbors. These people were people who were deserving of our love, and they were not being loved. And then add to that how they were being badmouthed, based in the returning soldiers, returning GIs, were being badmouthed based on the information that came across the American media. I worked as a chaplain intern with Vietnam veterans later. I ran therapy groups with them. Every one of my members had been called a baby killer within 24 to 48 hours of returning from Vietnam. It broke them. An entire generation of soldiers, of returning soldiers, was severely damaged as a result, I think, of unloving decisions taken by the American public.
And today, the latest, kind of the en vogue call in the American press is for a more or less immediate withdrawal from our enterprise and the war in Iraq. Right. What are your thoughts on that, just given the comparison there?
Well, it's very similar. You know, I'm not opining here on whether it was right or wrong to get into Iraq. That's another story. You're in there now. And as a result of withdrawing from Iraq, you'll do immediately or in the long run or even telling them when to withdraw, you cause immense damage. You cause butchery. There'll be bloodshed beyond belief. And it seems that those who advocate this are so-called softies, liberals, even Christians, say, well, you know, it's their problem. We are not here to worry about their problem. Wait a minute. It's not our problem if other people get slaughtered, butchered, beheaded, tortured by their own kind, because we withdraw our support for them after we got in and promised them to stay, that we would stay. And the next thing is, of course, what would you do? How would the world react to that? How would those oil, petroleum-possessing nations react to America's withdrawal, the sign of weakness? The consequences will be disastrous, because America would set herself up for blackmail from these regimes, that none of which are very nice regimes, be they Arabic or Venezuelan or Russian, who are the big oil producers. So therefore, people mindlessly pleading for an instant withdrawal or a measured withdrawal from Iraq right now during the height of this war are in fact very unloving towards their neighbors. Neighbors being Muslims, neighbors being Christians, neighbors being fellow Americans. And what this would do to the soldiers who fought out there in Iraq, no doubt pretty soon they'd be considered losers, as the Vietnam veterans were being considered losers. They'd be bad-mouthed. And, of course, we continue dancing at the rim of the volcano once again in this country.
One final question with only a minute here, Uwe. The biggest new, usually called kind of alternative media out there, of course, is the Internet. How do you assess it as a source of information for the discerning Christian who is trying to live within their Christian vocation as a consumer of media?
I assess it as the highest as having the highest potential and also the worst potential. It's both options are there, but if you're discerning and if you use it cleverly, you know what source you have. You read the address line. You know if it's Times.online, it's the Times of London, and not some rag from somewhere else. You have to use your brains, as you would have to use your brains with other media, and now even more than ever before. But it's still an obligation, lest we lose our freedom and the society and wind up in some form of a dictatorship.
And this is the real upshot of this, folks, as we reflect upon our vocation as Christians and consumers of the media. We remain informed, keep ourselves informed responsibly for the sake of our neighbor. When we don't, we lose both the ability to be informed and that ability to serve our neighbor in that way. You can read a great article written by our guest in this hour, Uwe Simonetto, titled Called to Receive the News on the web at www.csl.edu/vocation. www.csl.edu/vocation. Look for the article by Uwe. It's titled Called to Receive the News. Click the blog site and you'll find this article by Uwe Simonetto, www.csl.edu/vocation. Uwe, thank you for being our guest.
Thank you.
Look forward to next week's conversation as we talk about Christian vocation with Uwe Simonetto, international journalist, director of the New Concordia Seminary Institute on Lay Vocation, and director of the Concordia Center on Religion and the Media for Concordia University in Bronxville, New York. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues Etc., please visit the audio archive section at KFUO.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of AM850 KFUO. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.